Glen alcoholic, and it was a great lead from Terry, I love hearing Terry speak because we came in at the same time and always kind of ran parallel lives and watched other guys sponsor other guys, and it's always I'm always like, Terry's your sponsor, you know? but I would say about his sponsees is that it always seems like all of his guys are either very active in AA or they're not going to be a sponsee very long, you know? my sobriety date is May 31st, 2010. My home group is Monday Night Men's Meeting in New Tampa. I could tell you, when I first started, my first time ever drinking, my cousin was like, you're going to get drunk tonight. And I was like, great. And I had no idea what it's going to be like, but I knew I wanted to do it. And so we started drinking, and we ended up going to a senior party. I'm like a sophomore, freshman or sophomore at the time. And I thought, everybody is older than me. And I ended up, getting drunk, and I found myself dancing between two girls, and knew that alcohol was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And immediately I knew that that's exactly what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Like, I was like, why wouldn't you want to do this? And parents were letting their kids have the party there, which is insane. I think about it now. But they said if the next beer bottle that gets dropped by the pool, the party's over. And I just happened to be the guy that drops the next beer bottle, ruined the party. And by that point, it didn't matter anymore. I was drunk, and nothing else mattered after that. And so after that, my cousin was like, dude, you don't need to drink anymore. And so they were trying to cut me off immediately. And the next day after that, I woke up and I just realized that, if whatever I have to do to get drunk again, I'll do it. And I didn't drink every day after that, but I was planning for the next drink. And I had a lot of friends that would talk about it in school, and I would just get so excited. And then I thought, whatever. So as I, through my life slowly started to shift towards alcohol, to where the people that weren't drinking are not the people I'd want to hang out with. And so I turned into where my circle of friends, all they wanted to do is drink also. And so we ended up, I guess pretty much after that, I would just say, I started getting, after I graduated high school, I pretty much ended up working for a lawn business. And these guys, the way I met the guy, so this is, the guy, the way I met him was through, I had Natty Lights in the back of my trunk, they're rolling around, and I ended up wanting to throw them down the storm drain, and he caught me, and I thought I was in trouble, and he was just like, oh, don't throw those away, and he grabbed them, and then he ended up hiring me, a week or two later to work for him, and then I asked him about it. He's like, you know those beers you gave me? Those are terrible. He's like, because they've been rolling around in my trunk, and he's like, yeah, the only way I could drink them is if I mix them with Pepsi, and I was just like, this guy knows things I don't, So anyways, this guy was like 50 years old. I'm freaking like 18, 19 years old. And I'm like, this is the best job ever. I can drink, smoke weed, he would get me the booze and I would get him the pot. And found myself realizing that, doing that, it becomes expensive. And I ended up deciding to sell pot, whatever. And to maintain what I was doing, and slowly I started realizing that I thought to myself, maybe because my friends started to get smaller and smaller, and I started to only hang out with guys that were mowing lawns, which is terrible. But at the same time, I thought to myself, what else would I want to do? I'm working, and I'm getting trashed. What else? You know, that's the best job you could have, and making money and getting trashed. So anyways, I end up getting arrested with pot, I get on where I have to like take drug tests, and what happened is my drinking like ramped up alcoholically, what I learned is that my pot smoking was the balancing tool for my drinking, and whenever I would do both all the time, but at this time I couldn't do it because of drug test, so I just, like, my pothead friends were like, dude, you're out of control, you know? So anyways, long story short, I swore off on it. I said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to smoke pot. It ruined my life, you know, whatever. The second I got out of probation and I realized that I wasn't going to be drug tested anymore, I was like, within like 15 minutes, I'm smoking pot. It was like my first sign that, man, I really didn't want to do this, but I'm doing it anyways. It kind of went down this like weird, you know, where I'm just like super depressed and wondering how did this happen? You know, I'm like paranoid and stuff like that. So then I end up like finally kicking, you know, stop smoking pot. I ended up starting a lawn business. And through that, I thought that that was like my badge of like, I'm like doing big shit type thing, you know, like look at me, I'm mowing 30 yards a week. Most of my friends, you know, working at restaurants, I'm working at a restaurant as well. You know, certain people would hang out with me certain nights and other people they'd be like, you know, you're okay to hang out one night a week, but not every night, you know? So anyways, what happened is I would start mowing lawns and I would, something would happen around 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon that it would be like, you know, I think there's a few clouds in the sky. It's about to start raining. Maybe I'll just go to this Mexican restaurant that I, you know, frequently went to. And what would happen is I'll just take a break from the sun and I ended up going to this restaurant and then I'd sit down and then, you know, these tall 24-ounce beers are being served and I'm like, maybe I could just have one of those and then I could get back to mowing lawns. And then I'd order one and then find myself thinking, maybe if I just put up my lawn equipment and then just went to the pool, there'd be a ton of people there. You know, I'm college age and maybe I could go there where they're all hanging out. So I'd put up all my lawn equipment and show up to the pool. Nobody's there. I was like, well, I'm already here. It's time to get drunk. So I'd start drinking from like 12 in the afternoon till, you know, I felt like it was a responsible time, 10 o'clock, you know, and I'd pretty much pass out by that point. And I ended up, you know, towards the end of my drinking, I started like waking up at like 3 a.m. Wondering how am I going to get all these yards done. You know, pay my bills and all these things. And I would turn into like an insomniac. I would finally get back to sleep maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, wake up at 8, just feeling terrible. That was the one thing I would always hold, you know, like I could always wake up early. So I would like be getting these guys to work with me or to drink with me in the afternoon. And we would drink like till like 12 to, you know, 2, 3 a.m. And then I'd wake up at 8 o'clock and they were like, dude, what are we doing? Like, I'm like, we're going to go mow some yards. They were just like, no, we're up at 3 o'clock in the morning drinking. What are you thinking? And I always thought that those people are irresponsible. I'm responsible. I'm getting up to mow some yards. But what would happen is that something would happen around 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon where I would think that this Mexican restaurant would have like something for me there. And I'd end up start drinking just to have one drink. And then it would just turn into the same thing over again. And there would be guys that would actually come out to help me mow. And I would be like, well, I don't think this is happening today. And they'd be like, dude, I came to make some money. Like, you know, I need to make some money. I was like, well, how about this? I pay you to work. How about you? I pay you to drink with me and I'll pay for the alcohol too. And it's just like, totally not in a position to do that. You know, I like wasn't, and the thing is I was like having like this resentment towards all my customers because I wasn't billing them and they weren't paying me. And I would like be like, this person owes me 2 months of freaking bill billing. And it turned into where, you know, the second I gave them a bill, they wrote me a check, you know, but I would never actually have time to like do the invoicing. And so I'd have this resentment towards all my customers. Nobody pays me on time. And, you know, it's 2000, it's like a recession, everybody's broke. But like the second I'd write them an invoice, they'd write me a check. And in the meantime, I have this girlfriend who she's just, you know, she's going to get her MBA. And I'm like, she'll come home from work or whatever school, and I'd just be home drunk on the couch and just being like, I cleaned the house. Aren't you happy? And then it'd be like the house is like filled with smoke because I just got done grilling out on the patio and just wondering why she's mad at me. And I would always have these very strong intentions of staying sober the next day. And she was just like freaking just so mad at me. And I thought that she was mad at me because she had to work the next day. And I was like, well, I'm self-employed, so I don't have to work really tomorrow. And so anyways, she got to a point where she was just done with me. And and I also had like this revolving line of credit with her where she would pay all the bills and then I would end up trying to pay her back. And then what would happen is I would go out and drink and I would think this $50 is not going to pay her $500. So I might as well just spend it on alcohol. So that is kind of like my drinking. And my last night of drinking was not very eventful. It was just like a pretty, pretty pathetic night, really. It was just like I ended up, it was like Memorial weekend, and I had a bunch of friends that were like done drinking. And I thought it was ridiculous that we were done drinking. It was like 11 o'clock. And I ended up going and getting more alcohol, but I ended up getting just a pint for myself. I'm like, I'm not getting any of these MFers anything. You know, I'm just like, this is for me. And I ended up drinking it. And the girlfriend's like lecturing me on the way home. Like, why do you drink the way you drink? And I told her I had no idea and I needed help. So then I woke up the next morning and I, as a good alcoholic, I always felt like I could talk my way out of like being in trouble. And she was very adamant that I needed help. So anyways, I ended up going, she said, you needed AA or treatment. And the only experience I have with treatment is at that point was VH1, Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab. And then I had 12 NA, and I called them at the time classes, which were meetings. And I went to NA, and I thought to myself, if I ever get into these heavy drugs, that I will go here. But until then, I'm drinking. But so anyways, I ended up going to this meeting, and it was a small meeting. There was a very large meeting next door, but they had a non-smoking meeting. So I went to the non-smoking meeting, and it was like three people in there, and they're kind of like lecturing. They were talking to me about what I, how to stay sober. And I took it as a lecture. I ended up deciding that maybe I should go to another meeting that day, because I felt like I did kind of feel good about those NA meetings. Like I felt like, this is a good place. These people are friendly. Everybody's nice. And so I ended up going to Monday night men's meeting, my home group. There was about 12 guys there, and they kind of just shared their experience. And they told me just a few things that would help me stay sober. And it was kind of like my language. And maybe they told me other things, but these are the things I remembered, was, try to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. all you have to do is not drink today and read this big book and you have a better chance of staying sober, and then find a sponsor the first week that you're here. And so I was like, all right, we got this plan, perfect. We're gonna try this little 90-day plan that they got for me. And so I go home immediately and I'm a terrible reader. I cheated through high school. If there was a book to read, it wasn't getting read. And I cheated through high school. I actually had like a decent GPA, but I failed miserably in college because of that. And I was like, you actually have to read books in college. And so anyways, I actually thought to myself, if I'm going to cheat on this book, I'm just going to cheat myself. So I might as well read this book. And I would read. They said, you don't have to read the whole thing. Just read 3 to 5 pages a day. So I was like, perfect. That's just my pace. And I read 3 to 5 pages the first day. And, the second day came around, 11 o'clock, mowing yards. And I just felt, maybe I was overreacting. Maybe this AA thing was a little bit too much for me. And then I thought to myself for a second that I was pretty gung-ho about AA. And I had that list of numbers next to me in my passenger seat, and I actually called a handful of those numbers. And at first, nobody answered, but I would say that within 30 minutes, I had a few call back. And there was a few things that happened. There was one guy that had 2 years sober. He was in California, and I met him the day before in New Tampa, which was like, to me, I never left Brisby Downs. Like, Brisby Downs is as far as I go because of drinking and driving. You don't want to go too far. And this guy's in California the next day, and I thought that was impressive. And he said that he was atheist and that he'd been sober for 2 years and that AA was working for him. And another guy said that he chaired the meeting at 6 o'clock at Old School Group, and if you want to meet me there, then I'll see you there. And I committed to it, and I like immediately hung up the phone. I was like, why the hell did I commit to that? I'm like thinking to myself, now I can't get drunk and go meet this guy because he's in AA. And so anyways, like literally I ended up going and meeting this guy, and that I like strung together 2 days, there's 2 days of sobriety. And over time at 2 weeks, I thought to myself, this is too good to be true. I'm going to get drunk. And I freaked out. I thought, there's no way. I've never been sober in my life two weeks. And I was like telling people at the restaurant I worked at, and they're like, who cares, And people in AA, they're like, hell yeah, dude, that's hard. And so anyways, I at a month sober, this is kind of the pivotal point for my sobriety, was that this girl was really adamant about me going to AA. And so I ended up, she told me, she said, hey, I see that you have a month sober, and I think it's good that you're doing that, and I think you should do it on your own. And I'm like living with this girl, and I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? And so I was like, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get drunk. And so I ended up calling this guy. He had 3 months sober, and he's like, hey man, I'm at this meeting. You should come meet me here, because he knew I was a wreck at that time. She's breaking up with me. I'm on, whatever. And so he ends up saying, why don't you just meet me here? And I was like, I'll think about it. And I hung up the phone and thought to myself, if I drink, I might not ever have another month of sobriety in my life. But if I go see this guy, I can still get drunk after the meeting. And so anyways, I meet this guy, and he talks, I'm a wreck. I'm just, and he talks me off the ledge. And that guy, he never stayed. So he the longest time he ever had was like 3 months. And as long as I've known him, and I've seen him in and out. And it's like, you think about all the people that help you and how many people I've helped. And, it's just a gift to have really any time. And, yeah, so, I mean, got a little bit more time, but I could tell you that I did feel like drinking for a long period of time, and it wasn't easy. But what I would do is I wouldn't believe my sponsor, as I would say, be like, man, I feel like crap. He's like, well, why don't you go do this? And he's like, I'm like, yeah, but that's not going to help me with this. And so what the first big commitment I made was I did a juvenile detox center at 3 months sober, and I hated it. And I hated it so much that I felt like drinking after the detox. And and I would end up going, it was like, I lived in Wesley Chapel, and I ended up having to move in with my parents. My life just got like, it just, on paper, it got worse when I got sober. And but I knew that, like, I could hear these people in AA, they're like, just stick with it. Everything's going to get better. And then, you know, so anyways, I ended up, because I'm in Wesley Chapel, I got to pretty much, like, UConn and Dixon, like Sulphur Springs, I guess. And so I ended up, I'm pretty much there. So I ended up driving a little further to 3333, 815 Newcomers. And I started making that like a regular meeting for myself. And what had happened is I got tied in with people in AA that were doing things after and, you know, becoming more active yeah, so then, you know, I just got tied in, and I guess there's just maybe one or two more stories, but a lot of my stories are about drinking. Like, when I was a year and a half sober, and it was Thanksgiving, I was, like, ready to throw in the towel, and I was just like, it's fucking terrible, and, like, that's what my mind's telling me. It's just like, God, this is just brutal. And it's like, I'm a year and a half sober, have nobody to hang out with. I'm freaking, you know, my cousin was my old drinking buddy. He was like, hey, man, it was just a phase, you know. He's just like, just come meet me afterwards. And I'm like, I don't know. I really wanted to, because I just knew that, like, I just felt like that was the answer for me. And call around, and I ended up meeting somebody. Like, I ended up going all the way to Wesley Chapel where I lived, and then this person, the only person I could find, was in St. Pete. And I was just like, okay, I'll meet you at Rebo's. And I've probably been there one time. It was the one and last time. But I ended up meeting this person, and we ended up going to get, like, whatever, I don't know, egg platter or whatever, and it was like, you know, it was just another day of sobriety. And it sounds like pretty sad. But what I would say is that when I got to 2 years sober, I looked back and I thought to myself, I hadn't felt like drinking in 6 months. And I thought, I had no idea that one time that I was really feeling like drinking, and then I took the action and did all those things, is like, I never thought that was going to be the last time I really felt like drinking. And if I would have drank, I would have quit before the miracle happened. And I had no idea the miracle was happening for 6 months. You know, I just thought, you know, and my life today is, you know, great. You know, there's always some things to deal with, you know, there's life stuff that happens, but I can tell you that, I put AA first. And when I put AA first, my life looks very normal on paper, is what happens. And if I don't put AA first, I look like a freaking lunatic, because I'm just like trying to serve Glenn Yaney. So anyways, it's, you know, I ended up, so I was single for 4 years, and I could tell you that wasn't by choice. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, even that guy over there has got a girlfriend. I would be like, you know, I would date girls, and I would just be like, this, I can't do it. And anyways, so anyways, I finally gave up on that. And my, you know, wife today, she found me, is what happened. And I believe that God put her in my life. You know, it had nothing to do with me. Like, if I could try as hard as I wanted to, and it would make things worse. And, you know, the same thing professionally. Like, I was working at, I worked at Red Lobster for the first 3 years of my sobriety. And I remember these guys that would, like, get really good jobs. And I'd just be like, dude, I'm still working at Red Lobster. And then my sponsor would be like, have you made that resume? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that, you know. And then and then the second that he told me, he said, the second I'd made my resume, I like literally got a new job. Like it was like, wow, you got a job that you want to, you know, a new, it's like a sales job. And then within a short period, things just kind of worked out. And I could tell you that job that I ended up getting, there was like 10 employees. They were just like, it was just growing very quickly. And then they like, I always thought that I was going to lose my job there the whole time. Like every week, I'm like, this is the week they're firing me. And I would call my sponsor, Bill, and he would just be like, dude, he's like, they must have a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning about you. And he's like, just to talk about how we can mess with Glenn today. And I ended up, they ended up firing everybody except for me, which is like, I'm like, how am I not fired right now? You know, and I always thought that, and it had literally nothing to do. Like it was only because of AA, because what I would do, And what I would do is I'd call somebody in AA and I'd be like, man, they're not treating me right here, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, hey, how many people have your job? And I said, about 30, 40. He's like, then there's 38. He's like, then there's 30 people doing it for you, complaining for you. You don't have to complain. And, he's like, how about you just get, because it was a phone sales job. He's like, how about you just get on the phone and do your job? And that was like somebody in AA, like this same guy that told me to go get this license. And it's like, and it's all because AA taught me that I don't have, all I have to do is like me left to my own devices, I'm going to get drunk again. And step two is came to believe in a power greater than myself, which I come here and I believe that something different's going to change. You know, I'm going to change a little bit every time I come here. And then step three is turn my will and my life over to that power. Is like, maybe I should listen to this guy that's telling me not to complain about my job. And then, you know, it ended up working out is what it came down to. And I still felt like I was going to be fired every single week. And lots of worrying. But I could tell you that I put AA first. I was working like 70 hours a week. And I ended up getting 5 sponsees in like at one time. And I'm like, this is insane. Why am I doing this? And but I could tell you that I would always make sure that I made it to a meeting that night and, you know, answer the phone and call back the new guys that were calling. And my life just continuously got better despite myself. And that's all I have. Thanks.